Okay, welcome to the board members' toolbox. And I don't know what you all thought about when you saw this topic. I had my ideas, and they did give a description, and we'll read that a little bit later. But to start with, I thought I'd read a verse in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 6 and 7. It says, "They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, 'Be of good courage.' So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, 'It is ready for the soldering,' and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved." And I'm not sure, I came across that verse, obviously I was thinking about this topic, and all of a sudden it just kind of jumped out at me when in a devotional or something that I heard. But they helped everyone his neighbor. Isn't that typical of our school boards? We want to help each other, encourage the work of the school. And you know, it talks about a goldsmith and one that smootheth with a hammer. It's not easy work, right? It takes, you know, work to accomplish that, and I'm not familiar with that at all. But so my question then to you all this morning is, or this afternoon, how many of you have gone to school to learn how to serve on a school board other than meetings like this? That was one thing I thought of. It would be kind of nice if we would have an actual, and this is kind of like that, and I've enjoyed these meetings in the past. I asked one of my peers about this topic, and I asked him what just off of his experience, what would he say would be a tool that we should have in our box? And he said one word: time. You think about what it takes. From a board's perspective, it does take time to be involved in the school. One of the things he shared with me is he said that, you know, as board members, we should be willing to dedicate more time to the school than what's left after an 8-hour workday. So just be aware that it might take some time during the day when you might rather be on the job. But that's a reality, and we should be willing to sacrifice our time for the sake of the school. So as it relates to that, whether or not we went to school or we didn't go to school to learn how to be a school board member, but we simply learn on the job, right? Isn't that, it's kind of how it happens. We're voted onto the school board, and we learn as we go, and that's, you know, and we assume that the way the board has always done it, and it has always functioned that way, that's the right way. And it's typically true, but be careful with that. I think we need to revisit things and how we do things at times. But for us as a board to fail to comprehend our responsibilities will result in confusion, poor decisions, and oversights. We don't want that. We want to make informed decisions, not be confused about what our job description is. Schools function well when the board clearly understands what their responsibilities are. How many of you, when you were first voted onto the school board, felt like you had a good grasp of your responsibilities? Probably not too many of us, unless I think that teachers that were teachers and became board members were probably better equipped. And that's my perspective, because I've never been a teacher. But I really feel like if you've been a teacher, then you have an added insight into what you think a board should do. And so that's kind of my thoughts on that. And so that's why I like to come to these meetings. We can talk about, you know, how schools do things. We can get inspiration for our schools and ideas, and we get direction in that way. So tools, the word tools, or the board member's toolbox, what is a tool? It's a handheld device that aids in accomplishing a task. You know, in my line of work in construction, the right tool for a specific project makes anything much easier. And that's true in just about any profession that anyone takes on. So let's find the right tools to make our job easier. Another definition of a tool is natural ability. You know, we've heard the statement, he has all the tools to be great in his line of work. And some people are just more, they're more adept at that. And so let's, if we're called to serve on the board, let's do our best for the glory of God. And another definition of a tool is to shape or finish something. And that's, isn't that what the board's work is? Is we have a vision or a goal that we're trying to achieve, and we're using the tools we have and we know how to use to get to that place. So I have a real life story to share with you. This spring, we had a young brother at church that was getting married, and he needed to fix his house. And he's a mechanic by trade, and obviously worked construction, and his house needed some work. And I had told him we could help out whenever he needs some help. He kind of felt like he wanted some experienced input, and so we agreed to help. And we'd been up there a few evenings, and then I had a truck that had a situation that the boys and I worked on for an hour and a half or 2 hours one night, and we simply couldn't accomplish the job. We tried and tried, and it wasn't going to work. I told the boys, I said, this is over our heads. We're going to call the mechanic. We're going to call Jeffrey. And so we did. And the next night we had planned to go up to help him on his house. And we were finishing sheetrock, which is just not that hard. And so I said, okay. I said, look, if you go fix my truck, one of you boys, he has some brothers, and they said, I'd be happy if you fix my truck, and I'll go fix your sheetrock. And so we did that, and you know, it was a really good fit, and. It was easy for me to do for him what was hard for him, but then it was easy for them to do for me what was too hard. It was beyond my my line of expertise, and so it was just a true life story that, you know, we may have the right tools, we don't know how to use them, we don't know how to fix the problem, and so to me that speaks of the board. That's why we have more than one person on the board, because we can help each other. You know, where you lack, I might have the idea, or where I lack, you do. And so in that way, we can help each other. Serving God on the Christian school board is a holy calling. And it's a ministry unto the Lord that deserves our best informed effort. And let's remember that. It's just not, we shouldn't come to the looking at the board as, well, we'll do whatever we have to, but we're kind of bored with the idea, and we shouldn't be. That's why we talk to others and brainstorm about ideas and ways to build a better school. And how do we do that? I think it's through building our relationships and our, like we heard in a couple of the topics on communication skills. You know, it's if we put our heart into it, we'll find a way to make it better, won't we? So to learn to be better equipped for the task, to carry out our responsibilities with knowledge and wisdom in ways that honor God. I think that's important. Anyone have any thoughts on anything that I shared? Any input that you could give us before we go more directly into some of the things that I have here on the table? So moving on, at the top of your handout, it says a hammer and nails, a square, a tape measure, and of course, it says, of course, these belong in a toolbox. But what are the tools that a school board would have in their box? And might we grab a hammer when the square would be a better tool? Do the new board members know what tools they have and how to use them? Now I have, here I have a bag, and this bag I carry in my truck everywhere I go. I started doing this probably, I don't even remember, probably 7 or 8 years ago. Because every time I had to go do something by myself to fix something on a job, I didn't have the tools, so I'd have to go to the tool trailer and get what I needed, and often I would forget something. And so finally one day I thought to myself, you know, this is not really that smart. These tools aren't that expensive. Why don't I just carry them with me? So this is what I take, and it's, I can fix almost anything that is thrown at me with this set of tools. And it's very handy. And so as we take that from the perspective of the board, take your tools with you. You don't know when you may get a call in the middle of the day and say, we have a problem here at school, and be there, be able to take your tools. And so the first thing I have here is, I thought I'd put that out there. We need a sense of humor, don't we? That's the Snickers bar. I thought of that, actually it was someone else's idea, but I thought that was good. You know, bring a sense of humor wherever you are too. I mean, that can be an icebreaker and in a way to get things started out on the right foot. But the next thing on your handout is a hammer. We use it to build, to connect two pieces, to construct a building. And I wasn't sure, you know, a hammer can do a lot of damage too, okay? But it can also be constructive. You know, we put a nail into a wall to hold it together. Put a brace up to hold it there until the project is to a point where it can stand on its own. You know, those are things that we do with a hammer. Connect two pieces. But you know, something else that we need is a plan to follow to accomplish the school's goals. You know, if we don't have a plan, when we're building a house, we're going to be redoing a lot of things. And another thing, reading the plan correctly is very important. I figured out in the last 6 months. We build houses, and so this happened to us this spring. We were doing a foundation, and we had all looked at the plan, but being the boss, I'm supposed to know, right, what the plan says and how to follow it. We were almost finished framing up all the walls for concrete and the foundation pour all at once, and one of my sons looked at the plan and says, "Dad, that's not right. There was a separation wall between the house and the garage. It was supposed to be an 8-inch wall instead of a 6-inch, and we had formed it all up for a 6-inch wall." And I had looked at the plan for probably a week every day and had never seen it. So we discussed this and that, and I thought, well, I wonder if the inspector will see it. Maybe we can slide it by. But I realized pretty quick that was the wrong approach. That wasn't going to work. And so read the plan correctly. Pay attention to detail. That was a big lesson for me. At the end of the day, this we figured this out at about an hour from quitting time, and we felt pretty down. We just did. It wasn't, all of us felt like we really, it was a really bad mistake, and it was. But in reality, I think it took us about a half a day of labor to correct the problem. And in the whole scheme of things, it wasn't that much. But, it's hard for us. We don't like to go back and do things over. And from a school board's perspective, there may be times we have to do that. We go back and we say, well, we made a mistake here. Let's correct it and then let's move forward. And we don't always lose that much. We actually gain, I think. It doesn't cost us that much. So be aware of that. Those are just some things that I think we can learn from. A yearly schedule is very important. That kind of relates to the plan. Then again, a hammer, sometimes we use it to move stubborn things. Maybe use a little more force. Hopefully we don't need to get the demolition hammer out too often, as it relates to that story I just shared. There will be knotty problems that we have to dismantle and difficult situations, but use the demolition hammer with carefulness and discretion. Any thoughts on what I've shared so far on how we address difficult situations or go back and start over? Anyone have anything to share? Any real life experience? So even when we're using the hammer, let's remember to take meekness with us. Yes. Very good.
I appreciate you bringing that in about having a 6-inch wall where it was supposed to be 8-inch, and I keep my example that it's good for me to take as head of a school board. It's maybe sometimes easy to make decisions, and that might have its place, for something that needs addressed, but to rely on the rest of the school board to make decisions where your son saw the mistake, I think that can play over into the school board where we have good relationships and talk things over, and maybe what I don't see, they see.
Yeah, and in that situation with looking at the plan, I could see it plainly when I saw it. But, you could look at it for... And we just need to recognize that we don't always see everything from the proper perspective. And that's, I think, a lesson that, for me, I have to learn over and over. So be aware of that. Another thought I had, and it kind of fits in with what we're talking about, is that sometimes in on a job, we pick the wrong tool for what we're doing, and it may take the third or fourth tool till it really works. I've experienced that, and you wonder, well, why didn't I get it right the first time? Well, that's reality, isn't it? That's how it is in our board work. We don't always get it right the first time, and we need to be willing to acknowledge that. Sometimes we need to just use a different tactic. Then I thought, you know, okay, so we've used the hammer and the you know, bigger hammer. Sometimes we need to use a rubber mallet. You ever used one of those? We carry one in the trailer for special situations. And, you know, gentle taps that aren't going to damage the material we're working with. Remember that in our board work. It's, you know, I remember a situation that it's been a few years back that we had at school, and it was had to do with indoor playing arrangements. And our school is building is pretty small, and so they're very limited in what they can do. So as a board, we knew we needed to address it, but we were almost afraid because we weren't sure how the teachers were going to respond, because after all, our facility is barely big enough, and I don't know, we just had, I remember I had a lot of reservations, but we decided now we're going to go ahead and share it with the teachers and see. And you know, it surprised me, like it often does, when we shared that with our teachers, they thanked us. Because they didn't like the situation either, but didn't know how to handle it. And so when you as a board sometimes are in those situations and you don't know what the response might be, but the topic that was shared on communication, we can at least be the adult in the room and we can talk about why not. We shouldn't have to be afraid to address those things that may be just a little sticky, or you know, sometimes all our teachers need is a little nudge, and they come right on board, and that's a blessing. Any thoughts that anyone would like to share, or anything on that? Okay, number two is a level, and I didn't bring one because, actually, I forgot, but I could have brought one, and it's not. I don't carry that in my truck because we usually use that at the beginning of a new project, and I hope that you understand what a level is. But I thought of a level as relationships and proper school protocol. As you think about a level, you know, we call it a level or a plumb or whatever. It works horizontally. It works vertically. And I kind of wanted to relate that to our horizontally as our relationships around us. You know, it could be our fellow board members, parents, teachers. And also a good level helps our horizontal relationships. So my thought is if our horizontal or our vertical relationship is as it should be with our God, then it'll help our horizontal relationships with each other. I think it if we're level, we'll be reasonable, balanced, and maybe we won't give a bad reading as often. You know, levels are usually accurate unless they're not, then you want to throw them away, but a good level will never give a wrong reading. It'll always be right. And so in any construction project, we must start right in order to end right. And that's even true in our relationships with our fellow board and teachers. Like I said earlier, sometimes we need to back up and go back to where we made that mistake and correct it and move forward. Also thought of a level as top-level thinking in our boards. We need that. And it's one of the blessings of plural boards. Be calm in our work and, you know, unperturbed, unshaken. You know, there are things that we're going to face. And so good relationships are the oil that keeps things running smoothly. I think we need to cultivate that. B be open and approachable. Her parents should not be scared to come to any of us as a board with questions or suggestions, and they should feel like they can be heard. And we should be that. We should leave that approachableness always open to them. So again, starting right is so important. Point number three, square. And speed square. I don't know, you may not be familiar with what a speed square is, but it's a small square that most people keep in their tool bags, and it's very handy little tool. Is it true? Well, most times those can't be bent out of shape. They can be if they're used hard enough, but I like to think of a square as something accurate. Okay? We know it's right, and we use it that way. Also, I think of it as reality. You know, sometimes we go and we repair something and we want to know what pitch the roof is. It's a relatively easy thing to figure out with one of those little squares. It's just, you can easily do it. So it gives us the reality of what we're actually seeing. It's also honest, just, and essential. In other words, the actual state of affairs. And we should be looking for that in our schools. We want to know what's really going on, right? This handy little tool can make a straight line, give angles, degrees, roof pitch, tells us how to set the saw for cutting something, shows in an instant if it's square or not. So, I don't know if we have a tool that's quite that good in our boards. I don't know. I hope we do, but it's not as easy as just pulling that square out of our bags and this is what it is and we're done talking about it. No, we have to figure it out, don't we? Remember, we're going to be dealing with people and different personalities, and they're going to have different perceptions. So it's not just as simple as pulling out that square and saying, well, this is how it is, let's move on. So make sure we have all the facts straight. We can't always see both sides of an issue in an instant, can we? It'd be nice if we could. Be cautious about forming a conclusion before researching and listening to everyone involved in a situation. And that comes into even the thoughts earlier about communication, how we work through that situation. I don't know if any of you are familiar with a T-square, but it's a big 4-foot square. And if it's not true, it will frustrate you. Because your accuracy and efficiency goes just off the charts. And recently I was using one off our trailer and it was so bad, I threw it into the dump trailer. It wasn't doing the job anymore. And so, let's make sure that we're using an accurate gauge in our board relationships and how we're working together. Any thoughts? I've been doing all the talking here. Do you have any thoughts on what are good ways to make sure that what we're seeing is right, or any other thoughts that I shared here?
I think it's a good idea to get the teacher's perspective in an issue first. Sometimes you mentioned different perspectives and personalities. Sometimes you need to hear the parent as a student too.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
I have lots of questions. what about the proper school protocol What about dyslexia, other learning disabilities? How do you get a correct protocol?
Any thoughts on that? That's a really good one. One that I haven't faced much, but I know it's out there. And anyone.
In order to work with a situation, there has to be a proper diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really, parent can say, well, this child's got a problem. What kind of problem is it? Unless there's an official diagnosis, how do you move forward?
Right.
And I think that's one of the places to start.
Yeah, I think that's true. I was thinking this kind of the same lines. You know, we may need to get somebody that's actually schooled in that type of problem to help us. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Do you have any input on that?
Well, not really. You tend to just push and push and push. The protocols tend to be at the middle of our school.
Mm-hmm.
What works the best for most of us. And then if you have some that it's not working, you hope it goes away. Or if you don't have if you don't know what tools to use, then you're. I see later, you know, what. You have a question there, what tools do we have?
Mm-hmm.
There are different curriculums that are made to help that you don't know about unless you're forced to find out about them. I wonder if there's not. I wish I would have known about them. If you don't need them, then you just forget about them.
Right, that's the thing, you know, sometimes, well, at least for our small school, we really don't face anything like that. But if we did, I think that wouldn't it still be, as a board, wouldn't it be our responsibility to find out what's available, what would work, what would help? Because sometime, most schools will face some child with a learning disability and you know, what are we going to do if they don't, you know, if they're not in that box that we have prepared for the average child? You know, we need to do something that works. Okay, moving on to the tape measure. I'm not going to share much about communication that I have there. We've heard quite a bit about that, and I really appreciated that, but working together and thinking together. You know, I think a tape measure is an absolute necessity. And, you know, sometimes I wonder how they did it in ancient times with, well, what did they have? Obviously they had something because they built the pyramids. But that's a really handy little thing. And, you know, we use tape measures to get the hypotenuse when we're squaring a building, and I don't know if you know that term, but we use it all the time. We actually call it hypotenuse because that's what it is. And it's getting the square of a building. You know, and if someone's on the roof, they have a tape measure and they give us a measurement and say, cut a board this long, square on one end with an angle on the other. You know, you can do that, and it's almost seamless. Can we do that on the board? Help each other get things right, maybe. So we need to work together as a board. We need to look ahead, establish goals. You know, it's been said that boards do not plan to fail, but some fail to plan. And that's where it catches us, doesn't it? We just don't plan. And like, in relation to your question, you know, if we don't face a need or an issue, we never think about it. And maybe we should dig into some of those learning disabilities that might come down the road so we can be prepared. It wouldn't be anything wrong with it. If someone would be able to do that and be able to give good information and help, I think it could be we could be much more effective as boards. Okay, the drill, mining in God's resources, and I think this, I don't know, I didn't put these in order of importance, but prayer. I don't think that we can put a value on that as far as monetarily, but our board meetings, praying daily for our teachers and parents and students, it's a big work. Do we cover it in prayer, even in our personal time? It's an invaluable tool that we should use more freely. And I speak to myself, first of all. I think that's one place where we could help ourselves a lot. James 5:16 says, "The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Moving on to the tool belt. Support your teachers and your fellow board members. Hold them up. How do we do that? By showing and telling, and by showing respect. You know, sometimes hopefully you're on a good enough relationship with your teachers that you know that they're having a difficult week. Show up to encourage them. And you know, you could show that in different ways. There's different ways to do that, but just let them know that they will be in your prayers today, and you know, that could be the difference from them facing a day that looks like a drag or putting a spring in their step. Let's do that for our teachers. And we go to, you know, I don't know, everybody's different, but for me, if I was in the same place every day, I'd probably need some encouragement. So do that for your teachers. Verbalize your support. Don't just think they know, because if you don't say it, they won't know. So also assume the best of your teachers. You probably ask them to do that for their students. So try to see their good points. Remember that supporting our teachers is vital to student success. And after all, we're looking for a good result, a good end result for all of our students. Isn't that what we're looking for? Okay, then moving on to respect. Respect in your relationships builds feeling of trust, safety, and well-being. So I don't know, what are your thoughts? How do we show respect? How can we do that?
Yes. Then do we give them proper perspective and direction? I know at home we like to encourage our teachers and kids, if they're having problems with the student, and as a board chairman, you get a new teacher in, often it's easier for them to tell you about the problem, but it's hard to go tell the parents. Mm-hmm. You know, that first contact seems it's kind of like it would just about scare them to go to the parent. Hey, I'm having problems with this child in this area. And I've really tried to encourage our teachers, you know, communicate with the parents. You know, they probably want the best for the school as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If they come to me as a board member about a problem, and they want me to go to the parent, I say, what will that do to the respect that needs to be between you and the try to communicate with the parents and see if the problem can be resolved. If you need help, we're just here to help
parents.
Yet, we want the trust between you and the parents.
Yes.
No, so that, I think that is a step sometimes. And new teachers sometimes that's a little hard to see. But then sometimes when they make contact with parents, they're amazed on how the parents come to check up and help the child do.
Mm-hmm.
And that all becomes, you know, it kind of changes the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. People doesn't always have to have answers. They just need to listen sometimes. I remember one time, Paul Sister and I were teaching together, and you were just burdened with so many things. And the Lord turned and showed up one afternoon with a snack and a different hour and listened to us dump everything. And he laughed, and Juan and I looked at each other. And our whole afternoon, we were just, you know, excited about school again, and we were happy. And then we said, what did he tell us to do? Nothing.
Yeah.
We just listened.
Yes. Be a good listener. I think that's important. That's one of the things I have down is practice active listening. You don't always have to have an answer that fixes the problem. Just listen. The screwdriver is constructive help when things get loose. Be there to pick the pieces up, to put them back together. You know, that's... I hope this doesn't happen too often. It would be sad if it was a regular occurrence, but it will. And so be there as a board. You know, we're probably going to be the oldest people there. So be the adult and calmly and efficiently help to fix the problem. And I know that's easier said than done. But be the stability there. Or the teacher. Now the one of the last ones I have here, you all may not know what this is, but we had to use this a few times, and this is a wire tracker. You set it up and you can track a wire that's behind the wall just by it will tell you where it goes. And it's a very inexpensive tool, but it does what we want it to do. So the new school board member, that's kind of where I'm going with this, is that it's actually a tone generator tester. Let your new school board know what tools that are available to him and give him the resources that he needs. You know, like I said, that you can trace a wire behind the wall. That new school board member doesn't really know yet what's expected of him. Help him. But also, I think a new person on the board often comes with fresh ideas and energy. Look at things a little differently. And that can be good. We need that extra energy sometimes and help us in figuring things out and maybe a little better way to do things. That can come from a new board member. So I thought of data and test scores. I don't know how many of you schools use tests to see where we're at and how well our children are learning, but let's use that as a flashlight, not a hammer. Let's use it as a flashlight to help us see where our strengths and weaknesses are, what we need to improve upon. So that was one of the things I thought of. And then also be aware that poor board governance can be a problem, and it's often characterized by micromanagement. We should really be, and maybe we get too detail oriented when we should be accountability driven in what's coming out of our schools. So give the teachers the space they need to teach effectively. I think we heard that earlier in the meeting here. But the other extreme is hardly being involved at all. We don't need that either. But we need to be balanced. Also, as a board, I think we should cultivate a positive attitude about our school, not allowing a boring attitude towards our work as a board, but be interested and enthused about what our work is. And, you know, it's an opportunity, really, for us, and I think we should view it as that. And you know, we can, that can come through in different ways, and some of the things that I thought of that we can do, you know, sometimes maybe partway through the year we can get a small diversion going for our students, and they can maybe take them on a little hike and go to a creek, and they'll find sodas there waiting on them. And, I mean, wouldn't that just surprise them? You know, that some of those, it can be a little thing. I've done it. It's been a few years back. I took the students to a fish hatchery locally, and it could be whatever your local point of interest might be that could be educational and may only take an hour or two out of their day. Plan it with the teachers so they're aware, but just a nice little morale booster. You know, they'll think, oh, wow, that was really nice. We should have. You know, and you could do that with your school every 4 or 5 years because, you know, the students just keep rolling through there, and there's new ones all the time. So it's just a neat little thing that we can do. So the more you use tools, the more you will learn. The safer, happier, and stronger your building will be, and may it be for the glory of God. Thank you.